Folks, last Sunday I suggested that maybe we'd just take a moment as we began this homily to reflect for a couple of moments on the Sunday that we celebrated last week. There was that great statement of Jesus, "Who do you say I am?" You know, that thing that's inside of us, probably coming out not so much of our stability as our anxiety. And we question that. And then, of course, Jesus' great prediction that he was going to suffer and die. Didn't matter what people thought about him. He was the Messiah. But the Messiah was a suffering Messiah. A Messiah would have to give up his life for you and me. So I said to you, maybe we just chat about it for a moment tonight. Now, I hope this doesn't thin the crowd out each week when I do this. I'm not going to do it every week, but because I'm going to be gone to Africa in a couple weeks, so you'll be off the hook for a while. But just, if you wouldn't mind, maybe just talking to someone next to you or beside you or around you, and just, if you have a moment of reflection on what happened in that reflection or what didn't happen in that reflection, I'm asking you to do that now.
Nobody was in the moment and took action.
Pardon me?
Nobody was in the moment and took action.
Yeah, it is. You're right. Who do you say I am? Okay. Okay, folks. Thank you. Some of you gave me a pretty cold stare, so I don't know what that meant. That's okay. No need to do it if you don't choose to. This gospel today is really something, I think, for all of us. I know it has a lot of explanations and lots of exegesis. You know, how could Jesus say to somebody, "Let the dead bury the dead," you know? And no, you're not going to say goodbye to your parents or to your family. Just follow me. So that's the question, of course, I'm going to ask you next week. What does it mean to follow me? What does that mean? So tonight, you know, I thought there's a couple of things that I think there's a couple levels of this, and I'm just going to take a couple levels. And I would like to share just one little story and then read the end of the story that Megan McKenna shares. And this is really from my heart. I didn't do a lot of exegesis about it. It's more just my own reflection and my own experience. But I did some exegesis, but I this is what I prefer to share. I think that, you know, for a lot of us, procrastination is a big, big piece of life. I don't know that any of you, get involved with that, but I tell you, I can put things off. Especially things I really don't want to do, don't want to face, don't want to say. So somewhere in that gospel, I think, is a little bit of a reflection on how do we face the tougher issues of life. I think secondarily, there's another side of that, come follow me, but you know, I got to take care of things first. And that is that, you know, it's tough sometimes for us to put as our first priority to love the Lord your God. That's not an easy thing to do. Because we really do love ourselves. Sometimes we beat ourselves up and sometimes we don't think much of ourselves, but we really do think a lot about ourselves. I gotta tell you folks, the first thought in my morning when I wake up is me. And so, that's another piece of it. How and what prevents me, you, from really that wholehearted following of God in life and His will for us, His blessing for us. And in the thinking about all of that, what strikes me is sometimes it's an addiction that we have that we just can't face. And yet we know it's the very thing that either is taking us down or can take us down. It's oftentimes something that we just don't have either the energy or the presence of mind or the inside stability, or we don't think very, we beat ourselves up, and so we don't think we're able or willing or capable or worthy of going at that. And we begin to second guess and think, and it pushes us back, I think. And then of course there are all those things that take up our lives. You know, there's a love of things in life that really do prevent us. I mean, if we really faced it, there are lots of things in our life that prevent us from really loving God first. Because we get involved in things that literally take us away from that. And so I was thinking to myself today, how could I speak to this wonderful group at 5:30 and at least begin to think about some ways that you could think about, but that I've thought about that will maybe tease out some of those things for every one of us. And a good friend of mine reminded me of a book that we had read a couple, three, 4 months ago called The Hour of the Tiger. And it's called Facing Our Fears, and it's by Megan McKenna. I'm not so sure that that's enough to say it's facing our fears. I think it's facing our fears. I think it's facing our addictions. I think it's facing our sinfulness. I think it's facing our selfishness. But somehow what she says is that at the earliest hour of the morning, and I love to see people's faces when I say this, aha, at the earliest hour of our morning, that's when those fears, those struggles, those shameful acts, those things that bother us come into our hearts. And that's why we don't sleep very well. That's why we're all on Advil PMs and what is that other stuff that we use, in Ambien and all this stuff, that because we're all fearful. We are. I mean, we call it all kinds of things, but that's what it is. And so she has this story, and I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's protracted, and her message is better than the story. It's called The Hour of the Tiger. And she talks about it. It's a Japanese kind of reflection, a master and a disciple. And this disciple is so full of fears that he just can't move. He can't engage. He can't really become everything that he really wants to be in this monastery. So the monk is a wise old man, and he says, young man, go into this little cave. And he points out the cave. And he says, I want you to spend some days there. And I want you to stay awake at night. You can sleep during the day, but I want you to stay awake at night from midnight to dawn. And so he does. And on the first night, he sits in the cave, and it becomes 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. And he's feeling, you know, a little fearful, not so fearful, all those things that kind of swim in and out of us. And then he says, at 4 in the morning, the master didn't tell him that this was the cave of the tiger. And that at 4 a.m. in the darkest hour of the night, the hour just before dawn, by all standards, is the darkest and the coldest hour of the night, the tiger returns. He returns from his prey, having gone out all night in search of some tasty little morsel. And when this monk sees this tiger, he's frozen and he begins to think about the fact, what if the cubs or whatever you call small tigers are inside there? Maybe he thinks I'm disturbing them. He'll ravage me. Maybe he didn't get any prey and he's looking at me and say, whoa, what a tasty little morsel you are. Then he thought about running away, but he said, if you run, then you're absolutely going to be food for fodder. So he just sits in mortal fear. And he looks at the tiger, and the tiger looks at him. And what seemed like eternity, probably a few minutes, the tiger makes its move and brushes past him into the cave. What he doesn't know is, after he just kind of gains some composure, is there's a second tiger. There's two in the cave. And the same thing happens. I won't go into details, but that's what happens. And so this man, exhausted from this fear that's gripped him, and of course the whole night of vigil, he slumbers into his sleep. And the only thing that wakes him is that the next day the two tigers go out again for their prey. And at 4 o'clock that next morning, there they are again, one by one, frozen, exhausted and asleep. But he stays there. He tries to conquer that fear. He looks that tiger in the eye. And ultimately, after several days, the tiger, when it goes out and comes in, gets a little closer and just kind of brushes up a little bit more to him. And before you know it, the tiger, when it comes in at night, in the morning, is literally laying down beside him. So they're just resting together. Could you hold this for a second? Megan says this at the end of this great story. It's a powerful story, I think. She says, on occasion, the tiger would lay down next to him. After months of these nights, the student knew he could go back to his own world. He could, and he did know how to face his fear. How to face his fear. Surprisingly, he had learned to love the tigers. He had learned to love his fear. And he knew that he would miss their company and their presence. And that they had taught him simply by what they were, what he could become. He could become a tiger. And so one evening when the tigers went out for the hunt, he went back to the city, back to the master. And the master, waiting for him, knew with a smile what had happened. Folks, that's my experience. I wake up not at 4:30. And when I wake up at 4:30, I have so many anxieties, so many fears, so many things I don't want to do today. And sometimes in the past, I used to wake up ashamed about something I had done the night before. Some of you might wake up with some of those same feelings, whether alone or maybe with somebody else. But there it is. And there's fear, and there's shame, and there's anxiety. We don't know what to do with it. Now we can drug ourselves, I suppose, or turn on the television, or go down and get a soda or something. Maybe get a shot, I don't know. But the reality of it is, we'll never live in peace unless we face the eye of the tiger. Never. We can carry a struggle along with us, and we can be in denial, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, it can be as clear as a bell what it is. And then we continue to layer over it and over it and over it until we're fully again in the sweet embrace of denial. That's what happens So I'm recommending to you two things tonight. I get nervous and I don't think about who I gave these things to. I'm recommending... Oh, that's fine, thanks. It's not much on it, but that's good, thanks. I'm recommending that you try this week, maybe just one day, one morning, to try to arise at that hour, between 4 and 5, the darkest, not very cold this week, but the darkest and the coldest hour of the night. And just think about, what is it that prevents me? What is it in me that causes me to be filled with fear, or even with a little fear, or some anxiety? What diminishes me in my own eyes so that I know I should do and could become the things I should become, but I don't do? What is that? Is there something that is preventing me from a really close and peaceful relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What is that? Now, looking at the eye of the tiger isn't enough. Recognizing that, I don't think, is enough. My secret, for me, is that I get on that old bike and I'm riding. And by the time I make a little turn about halfway down the path, it dawns on me every morning, but it takes me that long, that whatever I face today, I do not face alone. That I have this firm belief inside me, as unworthy as I am, as sinful as I am, as filled with anxiety as I am, as pig-headed as I am, my God is with me at every step and moment of my life. Even in my darkest moments, God is there. And so what happens to me is, when I look back at the day, the things that I feared, the struggles that I've had, they become the sweetest moments. Figure that. They become the moments to relish. So let me just finish with this little thought, maybe from Megan, because she puts it better. Sometimes we awake just around this time, in the darkest and coldest part of the night, alone, or maybe with somebody else, and they have to face themselves. We have to face ourselves. They experience a sense of distress, a vague uneasiness, dis-ease, or outright fear, loneliness, or dread. That, my brothers and sisters, is the hour of the tiger. The time to face that fear. It is a common experience. It's necessary for every human being. Not to face, and here's the kicker, not to face those fears, those anxieties, those struggles, is to be consumed by them. Follow me. That's what Jesus says tonight. Follow me. Come and find a life that's so much better, so much richer, so much more at peace. Follow me.